Thank you. and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will have a question-and-answer session. To ask a question at that time, press star one on your touchtone phone. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Julie Zavicia. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, Janice. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Julie Zavicia, the Assistant Commissioner for Public Affairs with FDA, and I'd like to thank you all for joining us, and thank you for your patience this afternoon. We want to update you on the latest information we have on our heparin investigation, and our speaker this afternoon is Dr. Janet Woodcock, who is our Deputy Commissioner for Scientific and Medical Programs, also our Chief Medical Officer, and also the Acting Director of the FDA Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. After Dr. Woodcock makes her remarks, then we'll open the line to your questions. Dr. Woodcock?
Thank you, Julie. We're here to discuss some global developments involving the blood-thinning drug heparin. As all of you know, Baxter Healthcare Corporation recalled all its single-dose, multi-dose, and HepLock heparin flush products on February 28th because some patients were experiencing serious allergic reactions or hypotension after receiving a bolus dose of the drug. Yesterday, we reported finding that some of the heparin product and heparin active pharmaceutical ingredient manufactured by Baxter's supplier, Scientific Protein Laboratories, were contaminated by a heparin-like substance. Today, we were notified by the German drug regulatory authorities that they have recalled heparin manufactured by a German company after learning about adverse events that fit the profile of the adverse events we had seen with heparin products here in the United States. The German authorities have identified a cluster of events at a dialysis center. They also have other reports where they don't have the specific manufacturer, but they also have a cluster of similar reports from doctors. What is significant about the German recall is that the heparin active ingredient in that product was not obtained from SPL like the Baxter product. Instead, it was obtained from another API supplier entirely. Yesterday, we promised to release test methods that manufacturers and global regulators could use to determine whether their product is contaminated with this heparin-like substance that is not heparin. We are now posting these tests. One test is called capillary electrophoresis, and the other is nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy. Use of these tests makes it possible to identify specific results or signals that should not be seen in heparin. Now, we can talk more about the technical details of these tests in the Q&A, but basically what you would see in these tests is, for example, to use a very simple analogy, if some substance, you'd shine a light on it and it came back green, and you'd look at the spectrum and you say that's a green result, this is looking where we get a signal, say red or purple, that shouldn't be coming back from that substance. And that's I'm sorry if I'm simplifying, but that's basically what we're talking about here, is that it doesn't definitively identify the ingredient, the contaminant, but it is a signal that should not be seen in heparin. Given the announcement by the German authorities, we thought it was important to post these tests online as soon as possible. We are requesting that all API and finished product heparin manufacturers evaluate their products using these tests. And companies should call FDA with any positive test results, and we'll be posting a telephone number and an email address on our website along with the test. Before opening to calls, we'd also like to point out that SPL announced late yesterday it was recalling its heparin API that tested positive for contamination. So that is the information we'd like to relay, and I'm sure you have questions, and we'll open the floor for questions, Julie.
Thank you, Dr. Woodcock. Before we open to questions, I'd like to introduce a few technical experts from FDA who are on the phone who will assist Dr. Woodcock. Deb Otter, who is the Director of the Office of Compliance and FDA Center for Drug Evaluation and Research, is joined by Michael Rogers, who's the Director of the Division of Field Investigations and FDA's Office of Regulatory Affairs, and Dr. Moheb Nasser, who is the Director of the Office of New Drug Quality and Assessment in the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. Let's go ahead and open up the line to callers, and I'd ask you to please state your name and affiliation, and we'll take one question and then one follow-up.
If you'd like to ask a question, press star, then one. Our first question comes from Peggy Peck from MidPage Today.
Yes, thank you for taking our questions. I'm about the German announcement. Can you tell us where did the crude heparin product come from, that the German manufacturer was using? What country?
The German regulatory authorities are still pursuing their investigation, and we would refer you to them. We're going to remain in contact with them as they go through evaluating the situation.
So, and on follow, did they use the same tests that the capillary electrophoresis and the MRI spectroscopy to identify the problem? Or they've just reported events, is that correct?
Yes, they have a fairly large cluster of serious adverse events, such as anaphylaxis and shock and so forth, that has caused them to initiate this recall.
Also, just a clarification, it's not MRI, it's NMR.
NMR, I apologize. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Next question, please.
Our next question is from Donna Young from BioWorld Today.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I just want to clarify the contaminant itself. You still have not linked the contaminant to the allergic reactions. Is that correct?
Yeah, what we have found is that in the U.S., the batches we have tested that have been implicated in the allergic reactions, the cluster of allergic reactions, have had this contaminant in. Other batches, say from previously or from manufacturers, have not been implicated in these allergic reactions, have not had the contaminant. But we haven't found a mechanistic, a causal link between the contaminant and the allergic reactions. And there could be something else in there that was actually causing the allergic reaction.
Okay. And then my follow-up question is, since now it's been found in Germany, do you have concerns that this particular contaminant could show up in other drugs? Like, is this particular API used in other drugs other than heparin? And so is there some chance that this contaminant could show up in other drugs? Or, is there a possibility that it is being used as some kind of a filler that could potentially show up in other drug products?
So this is this particular API is heparin, and the contaminant was able to get through the process, so to speak, because it mimics heparin in the test. So most small molecule APIs, for example, that would not at all be the case. So I don't think we have a global concern about all this contaminant and other drugs. We're concerned about worldwide this contaminant in heparin and making sure it stays out of the heparin supply.
Thank you. Let's take the next question.
Our next question is from Lauren Neergard with Associated Press.
I'm trying to follow up on who exactly you want to do this testing now. Have you all assured yourself that all of the heparin remaining on the U.S. market is free of the contaminant? Have you told... I guess it's just ATP that's still the only remaining supplier to regularly use the test. How do you want it to be used?
Certainly some of the ATP heparin has been tested. There are many different types of heparin on the U.S. market for IV flushes and for other uses. We would like all manufacturers of heparin and to test their heparin products as well as their APIs to make sure this contaminant is not in there. From the, smaller volume uses where we did not see this adverse event to the large mass use of heparin, the bolus use of heparin intravenously. So we would like all manufacturers to be testing their heparin with these tests.
Okay, so before when we were talking about heparin supply and ATP versus Baxter, we were just really talking about those bolus doses.
Yes.
There's truly a lot of manufacturers out there.
There are many more manufacturers for the smaller uses of heparin, where there's a smaller amount of heparin. It's added to various things. It's in IV flush solutions and so forth.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question.
Our next question is from Walt Vondrich with the New York Times.
Hi, Walt.
Hi. Do you know the answer to the question about where the crude heparin came from that has been implicated in the Germany situation? I mean, do you know the answer to that question?
What the German authorities told us is they have tracked some of it back, but they don't know the manufacturer of many of the events that have been reported. The majority of the events have been reported to them, actually. They do not have the manufacturer's name, and they're working on getting that.
Okay, how about if we say country? Did they come from China? Did they ever mention the word China?
I think you'd have to call the German authorities.
No, but I'm asking you.
Yeah, we would refer you to the German authorities.
Do you know the answer to that question?
Yeah, our discussions with other regulatory authorities sometimes have to be held confidential, but we could refer you back to them, back to the German regulatory agency.
Could you answer? Yes or no? I mean, you're not revealing anything. I'm just asking, do you know the answer to that question?
Yeah, it is still evolving.
Okay, you're not going to answer my question. I'll move on. Go ahead.
It's hard to be definitive when we are in an active investigation and the data is changing regularly.
Okay.
We're not trying to be
okay.
helpful here. Do you have anything else, Walt?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. Next caller.
Our next caller is from John Wilkerson from FDA Week.
Yeah, is this heparin case an example of the difficulty in predicting how minor changes to the manufacture of a biologic can change its risk profile?
We do not know how this contaminant was introduced into the product, whether it was a change in the biological source material, change in the processing, or it was deliberately introduced.
And then, so how do you guard against this in the future? Should the specifications that USP sets be tighter for APIs?
Well, I think that's a blanket question. What we are focusing on here is the testing that we would do to keep this particular contaminant out of the heparin supply. We will certainly evaluate going forward when we're done with this investigation the acceptance criteria for heparin APIs.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Bruce Jackson from the Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Bruce.
Yeah, good afternoon. It's Bruce Jackson. I'd like to follow up on Mr. Bogdanovich's question, and how can you assure the American people here that this is not something that's entered the U.S. supply, and if there are concerns about heparin coming from China, I mean, why will you not disclose what it is you know thus far, given the fact that people are concerned here? I mean, this is now an international situation, potentially. I mean, is the company from the U.S.? Is it, you know, well, there are lots of questions here, and we're trying to help you answer the questions and get the word out, and you're not giving us anything.
Okay. We do not have any information. This was a U.S. company involved in Germany.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
It was not a U.S. Source involved in Germany, okay?
Does the company have any business? I mean, how do we know? We don't even know where this heparin that Baxter used, where it came from. And, you know, we're trying to figure all that out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how do we know that this some of the, if there are so many heparin suppliers, do you know for sure that this company does not bring crude heparin into the United States through various channels?
Michael Rogers, are you on the line?
This is Deb Honor. I can address that a little bit. I mean, we are obviously working. We just found this information out today. We are obviously working as quickly as possible to analyze any potential impact on the U.S. market or worldwide. And the most important thing, we think, is to get the screening methodology out there so that companies are able to test heparin for themselves to make sure that their heparin is safe. Since we don't know the scope of this problem, that's the best thing we can do.
Anything else, Bruce?
Well, yeah, actually there is. I mean, so you don't know the scope of the problem. You're getting out the testing things, but I'm telling you what, if I'm a hospital in the United States or a dialysis center, I want to know what product to look out for.
Bruce, well, I know that too.
I mean, should we be looking out there? Are you telling the United States hospitals and dialysis centers to test every heparin product there is that's coming in right now?
Wait, we are telling the manufacturers. We are testing the there have been tests done on the APP product that's being used in dialysis centers and in cardiac surgery, and that has shown no contaminant. We are monitoring for adverse events to ensure that there hasn't been a raise in adverse events in the U.S. And with this testing method, there'll be a way to protect the heparin supply because all the various manufacturers can test their products. We're not asking hospitals or suggesting hospitals that they test products.
Our next question is from Lynn Peterson of Trends in Medicine.
Thank you. Yesterday, and one of the FDA press people told me that there is other tests that you're using for identifying this other than capillary electrophoresis and nuclear magnetic spectroscopy, but declined to tell what those tests were. Could you tell us those tests now?
There's a very wide variety of tests that are being done in research laboratories that specialize in these type of glycosaminoglycans, all right, and they aren't applicable to screening products, all right. These are investigations that are going on to try to find out what exactly this contaminant is. So these two tests that we're releasing are the appropriate tests. They are more complicated than most quality control, average quality control labs would use. But they're certainly within the scope of university laboratories and pharmaceutical laboratories to conduct. So these are tests that would be appropriate to use as screening.
Are they all that are needed to detect this, or in order to initially detect and determine this heparin-like contaminant, did you need something else?
No, we believe these tests would be the best test to rule out the presence of a contaminant in the heparin.
Thank you. Let's take the next question, please.
The next question is from Ricardo Alonso Zaldivar with the Los Angeles Times.
Go ahead, Ricardo.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. And I just want to get a better sense of the testing that you're calling for. And could you say again, is it a requirement that the manufacturers test their product with these more sophisticated tests, and can you give us a more precise sense of, you know, how many manufacturers, what the scope of this step you're taking is?
Dr. Nasser, could you take the question on the methodology?
Yes. This is Mohab Nasser. We have currently in place regulatory requirements of testing for ABI. For heparin ABI, these two tests are in addition to the existing regulatory requirements, and we are intended to provide an extra assurance of the safety of the heparin supply in the U.S. market.
Okay, and can you give us a sense of how many manufacturers are going to be affected by this, and you know, kind of like the breadth of it? Is it something that is very, very broad or relatively narrow? You're talking to lay people here.
Yes, it is relatively narrow number of companies who will need to do that test.
Okay, well, relatively narrow, fewer than 10, you know, some better idea.
I would think most likely fewer than 10, but I would defer to Deb Arthur or Mike Roger to provide more specific information.
Can you guys follow up with that?
Deb, do you have a number, or do we need to get back to Ricardo?
I think we should get back to him.
Okay, thank you. Anything else, Ricardo?
Any more information on what the contaminant might be?
This is Mohab Nasser. Not at this time. We are currently doing a very extensive investigation at our laboratories and at the leading academic institutes in the U.S., but we do not have the identity of this contaminant at this time.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to the next question.
Our next question is from Kim Dixon with Reuters.
Hi, thanks. Are you able to quantify the number of adverse reactions seen in Germany and or whether there were any fatalities? And do you have any sense as to who supplies, I guess, maybe this is a reiteration, but who supplies the European market? Is there a big Baxter type company, you know, that's the major player?
I can't answer the European market. The German authorities told us they do not expect any shortage as a result of this recall. They also said they had no reports of fatalities.
No fatalities. And what about any estimate on the number of deaths?
That would be fatalities.
I'm sorry. Estimates on the adverse events.
Yeah, they had fewer than 100 reports.
Okay. And then maybe just one follow-up. What about, how much heparin did they recall in Germany?
We don't have that information.
Okay, and then maybe one final question. You said there are some other smaller companies in the U.S. that make different versions of heparin used in smaller amounts. Is that the fewer than 10 companies that we were talking about in the last question?
Yes, we are talking about the whole scope of companies. We will probably have to get back to people with the information to the extent we can on how many different companies would be involved.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Thank you.
Two questions, Max, please. We have a lot of questioners. Next question.
Our next question is from Tom Burton with Wall Street Journal.
Can you tell us, please, what the name of the German company is, the API supplier, where these incidents took place, and who with the German Drug Agency can give us further details?
Name of the company, the brand name is Heparin Rotex Medica.
Spell that, please.
Rotexmedica.
And who makes it?
I think that's who makes it.
You think or you know that? Is that the company?
Deb?
Yeah, that's the name of the finished product manufacturer that I have as well, Heparin Rotex Medica.
Okay, and you indicated you don't know the name or the source of the API?
Well, what we said is that we have to refer you to the German authorities for that kind of information.
Right, but do you know?
We already went over this. We're going to refer you to the German authorities. As soon as we have more information, we will release it.
And what's the number of the adverse events?
As it's fewer than 100, but many of them, they cannot trace to a particular manufacturer, we were told, because of the way the reports were done. They simply have reports.
And in what German city and what dialysis center?
Well, we don't have it. We just received what's called a rapid alert from them about this recall. We don't have extremely comprehensive report from them.
Okay, and what's the full name of the German Drug Agency, and whom could we reach there for further details?
Is that Paul Ehrlich Institute?
No, it's the Bundesinstitut for ARZNEIMITTEL und Medizinprodukte, the BF Pharma.
Spell the second word, Bundesinstitut für what?
ARZNEIMITTEL.
Could spell it, please?
ARZNEIMITTEL und Medizinprodukte, MEDIZINPRODUKTE. Also known as BFARM. That's their abbreviation of their agency.
Yes. While we're spelling out German words, let me also correct the name of the manufacturer. The product that I mentioned is Heparin-Rotex Medica. The manufacturer is Rotex Medica, R-O-T-E-X-M-E-D-I-C-A, GmbH, so capital G, M-B, capital H. And the last word is Arzneimittelwerk, I believe, ARZNEIMITTELWERK. I'll do that one more time. Rotex Medica, ROTEXMEDICA, that's one word. GmbH is the second word with a capital H at the end. And the last word is ARZNEIMITTELWERK.
Let's move on to the next question.
Our next question is from Elizabeth Weiss with USA Today.
Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Do you guys know, you don't know the exact place where these incidents took place. Do you have even a sense in the country so we could go check the newspapers there? South, north? There's a lot of newspapers in Germany.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to read them all.
Yes, no, sorry. We do not know. We do not have that level of information. As I said, we just received this alert.
What time did it come in?
This morning.
This morning, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next question.
Our next question is from Jillian Kemsley with Chemical and Engineering News.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to clarify two things. One is, have the German authorities tested the either the heparin products or the API to look for the contaminant you've identified?
Our understanding is no. They simply identified adverse events.
Okay. And the other one is that you said that the new testing methods looking for the contaminant will be a way to protect the heparin supply. Now, previously I had understood that this had been identified in lots associated with the adverse reactions. So there's a correlation, but not a direct causal link. Do you now believe there is a direct causal link between the contaminant and the adverse reactions?
No, as I said, we have an association here. Lots, in general, prior lots of heparin over the years have not contained this contaminant, have not been associated with this set of adverse reactions. But we don't have mechanistic causal link.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question.
Our next question is from Daniel Poppy of the Pharmacia News.
Hi, thanks. Do you have a sense of how many non-APP heparin products are being used compared to the APP products in the U.S.?
Again, I think we'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, thanks.
I do have a sense because we've gone through with our drug shortage team and evaluated all this to make sure there will be no shortages. But we don't have the numbers to hand.
I mean, I know you mentioned 10 manufacturers, but not a sense of the amount out there?
Are we still looking at that?
Yeah, I mean, yes, we are still looking at that. Many of the other manufacturers are making very small mass or volume of heparin that weren't implicated in these reactions.
Okay, thanks.
Send an email to Karen Riley so that she can get that information back to you. Next question, please.
Our next question is from John Rockhoff of the Baltimore Sun.
Thanks. Are you going to be providing any technical assistance or sending folks to Germany at all?
We've already provided them assistance, and we'll be talking to them. I don't think the Germans really invented analytical chemistry, so.
So what sort of help did you provide? Just sort of.
Talking about our test methodologies and so forth that we're posting and provided them and what we know about the contaminant, what kind of chemical it is.
And lastly, you don't have like a contact name or number or email for the German drug agency, do you?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks.
And we have time for one more question.
Our next question is from Jennifer Corbett with Dow Jones.
Oh, thanks. My questions have been answered already.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our call, and I'd like to assure you that as we get more information, we would like to share it with you. These are very, very complicated issues we're talking about, and we don't have all the answers yet. Despite that, we want to be able to talk with you as we go along, and your questions are very, very good. We're asking the same questions of our investigation at this time, so appreciate that when we have those answers, we will get them to you. I'd like to thank our speaker, Dr. Woodcock, and then also Dr. Nasser and Deb Otter for your assistance today. Thanks to all you on the phone, and we have a replay of this call that should be available in 2 hours or so. You should have that replay number. I don't have it in front of me. Yes, I do. One moment. The replay number is 866-414-6081 if you're in the United States. If you're overseas, 203-369-0680. And if you'll check our website later this afternoon, we will have the test methods that Dr. Woodcock described posted probably in the next hour or so. And I'd like you to stay tuned this week and next week. If we have new information, we will hold another briefing. We will have regular updates until these matters are resolved. Thanks again, and have a good afternoon.
Today's call has ended. You may disconnect at this time.